Yo, what's good? We back with another episode of the Stats vs. Facts podcast, where men lie, women lie, numbers lie, but the facts don't. And we up here, that's all we speak. Hopefully this should be the last virtual episode. We just have a lot of scheduled stuff going on, but we here again. I got my man Brian here. What's good with you, bro?
Can't complain, man. Can't complain.
Devin, what's good with you?
Can't complain, bro. I'm good, bro.
So we finally got, we're back on an NBA episode. Because we, in the last episode we recorded, Brian, we talked about not wanting to talk about Lamar just in case nothing happens. And of course, nothing happened. So I'm glad we avoided that. But basketball season is about to be wrapped up now at this point. As of last night, but as, for the people that will be watching this, it's 2 days ago now. But as of last night, the Bucks and Celtics played the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. Two teams that are serious championship contenders. I'm one of the people that think whoever comes out the East is winning the title this year. I don't think it's hard to say this, but I don't think any team in the West can fuck with the top three East teams. Like even if Philly made it out, I just don't see unless Wiggins comes back for the Warriors. That's really the biggest thing. Like that, I don't see them making too much noise without him. And I know. A lot of people probably like, yeah, they still got Curry and Klay, but you need the other defender too. But anyways, Celtics Bucks played last night in Milwaukee. Bucks had all their players ready to go. Middleton played, and I think Celtics came out with the mindset of everybody said if Middleton played last season, they would have beat us, which I still think they would have. But Celtics completely destroyed the Bucks. It was really in that second quarter. I think Giannis had. I want to say 16 or 18, something like that in the second quarter, and the rest of the team had four. It was something crazy like that. Yeah. And the Celtics just completely routed them. Like it was no competition. Like I don't got nothing. No, I got something to say, but I'm a slide it to y'all first. Devin, I'll start with you. What did you think about that game? So that was it was two juggernauts in the East. So what do you think?
See, this matchup is what I have for the Eastern Conference finals matchup, honestly. But if it's going to go like this, I don't want to see it personally. If I'm being honest, I think the Bucks just had a bad night. If we've just been completely honest. Because we've seen them play great, you know, do what they need to do before. My man Drew just had 50. So, I think it was just a simple, you know, they just were out of it that night. Shout out to Danis, you know, came up with this and did his thing, did his little headbutt thing, and, you know, showed that he was with all smoke. But if we're being honest, I would love to see the Celtics win. I would love to see Jason get one. To me, he's one of my favorite players. Just a humble guy, like Jaylen Brown. But not sure if Jaylen Brown's gonna be staying in Boston too much longer. But that's a whole nother conversation for another show, I bet. But yeah, that was honestly my take on it.
Brian, what you think?
Yeah, man, I'm not surprised that the Celtics won. I'm not surprised that. It was a convincing win. I'm just surprised in the fashion that they won. To beat a team by 41 points, it's just like what are we doing here? And so, I mean, I know the Bucks, they were coming off of back-to-back, and I think they had like 5 games and 7 nights too. So I know like those two are factors. So once you get up on a team coming off of back-to-back and playing 5 games in 7 days, like they're going to pack it in. They're going to mail it in early. And so I don't think that – I think it's a statement by the Celtics because they were coming off that embarrassing loss to the Wizards, like I think a couple nights before. Mm-hmm. So they had to come out guns blazing with something to prove. I think, you know, like I told you in our chat, you know, I was like, all right, bet Jaylen Brown probably definitely going to score 20-plus today. He had like 17 in the first quarter. Like once you set that kind of tone and from the – I guess from the general perspective, you're the second option. I know there's people that obviously think that Jaylen Brown is the number one player on that team. But from the general perspective, like once your number two comes out and setting that tone, you saw Jason Tatum be like, all right, bet, we stepping up tonight. Or you saw other players be like, all right, bet, we stepping up tonight. So I think it was just a statement that the Celtics had to make. I don't think it's like a preview of what'll happen when they meet up in the playoffs. I definitely have them both going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know some people don't like the Celtics matchup against Philly, but I think the Celtics have too much to overcome when Embiid will throw at them. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like you're saying, I think it is like it's an outlier. Like, obviously I'm not surprised those won all the points you made. And the main thing is it was a back-to-back night, back-to-back game for Milwaukee. And obviously, Drew just put up 51. So, in the playoffs, Drew is always on offense. He's not good at all because of the effort he puts in on defense. So I just knew dropping 51 night, like I knew he was going to be completely done the second night of back-to-back. Other thing, like you said, Boston was just trying to make a statement. And like it was just the fashion they did it, though. That second quarter blew it open. And I know, Brian, at first we were like, I was like, dang, I have a whole ticket and I have Bucks plus 7.5. And we're like, they're down 20. We're like, yeah, they could still probably cover it. They're probably going to lose at this point, but they're going to cover it. And at halftime, they're down like 33. And I think that's when you just pack it up. Like, even you being home, it's still like, all right, we're not going to come back from 33. Like, our star player is the most dominant player in the game, but he can't shoot. So it's like, you're not going to shoot his way back in the game. So, yeah. And they built the wall.
Especially at this point in the season. Like, if this was like, January or something like that, they probably would have put up more of a fight. But, I mean, the play-in tournament literally starts next weekend. Their seeding is all but locked as the number one seed in the East. Like, they're not worried about that.
I'm just surprised that they haven't, like, weren't being rested. You know what I'm saying? With the season being so close, to the end. You know, most of the time, this is when you see your star players rest. Bench guys get to start, get some minutes.
Right.
So that's why I was surprised to see. Giannis, Jalen, basically all of them play
for them. Yeah. How you feel about Boston and Tatum is how I feel about Philly. Everybody knows how I feel about Embiid. I'm a huge Embiid fan. Harden, people always think I'm a Harden fan because how much I defend him. I'm not going to lie, I do defend him a lot. I just hate how the media portrays him. So for them two to even make the finals, I would love to see it because that would take a lot off their back. I think they got
to see the MVP, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I love it too, but I think he lost it at this point. And it's unfortunate. I think I was about to tweet this. It's literally my draft right now. But whoever the MVP goes to, it's going to be backlash, obviously. If Joker gets it, it's going to be the backlash of, well, are we done with voter fatigue now? Because, like, LeBron should have been had a couple more MVPs. Other people should have had more MVPs. But, obviously, voter fatigue got in the way. So, if Joker is the first player to win 3 in a row since Bird, it's going to be like, okay, voter fatigue must be over, right?
Yeah.
If Embiid wins it, he will be the MVP that played the fewest amount of games or missed the most amount of games, however you want to phrase it.
So, yeah.
So it's going to be like, okay, we're going to have to change. We're changing the rules for one of these two. Giannis is just Giannis. Like, he's not.
And it's crazy that he's not even, like, seriously in a discussion like this.
I've heard no one mention.
Best player on the best team. Like,
literally best team in the league. Like, record.
Are we being honest? Like, the thing is,
it's kind of crazy.
It's surprising.
Yeah, Philly, though, because Brian said they don't have enough. I probably agree, and I think the problem is really Tobias Harris. Like, he just doesn't give them that much.
I'm surprised they still have. I thought they would have got rid of him at the trade
deal. Nobody's taking him. He's making like 20 to 30 mil a year.
Yeah, I don't think nobody would have a contract. But with Philly, I'm gonna ask y'all this: do you think Doc Rivers?
Oh no, you asked. You're talking to the wrong person. Brian hates Doc Rivers.
I know. This is really for fun. Yeah, this is really for Brian. Because I mean, I'm not gonna say Doc Rivers is the issue, but I don't know.
That team is just—they're just built weird. I was like, they're oddly constructed. Like,
it's the best way.
They don't. Yeah, like, their bench is pretty much non-existent to me.
trying to think of. They traded at the obituary, and that Ben Simmons traded. So.
And you take your two stars like are built. I mean, your team is built around two stars that you can't rely on when it comes to health, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like if one of them goes down, it's over.
And are they still doing? I haven't really paid attention like that, even though I was watching that game versus Dallas the other night. But are they still doing that experiment with Start and Maxi coming off the bench?
No, I think Maxi started. He's been eating.
Okay. Yeah. So if he's starting, then they definitely have no bench. Like, but that's why I'm. They'll even struggle low key against Brooklyn if that's what they end up facing in the first round. Because I'm just looking at the standings.
Right now. Hey, I was literally putting that in too.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the standings right now, and I feel like with the players that Brooklyn got back and the trades that they've made, they're obviously not going to win the series, but they'll give them a challenge solely because like they'll be able to throw fresh bodies in the game that'll contribute that Philly won't be able to like that.
Since you have the standings in front of you, tell me. So this, I have the standings in front of me too. So if the playoffs started today, and let's just say 9 and 10 to play in, let's just say they don't make it, they lose their matchup, blah blah blah. What would be your favorite first round series in the East?
My favorite first round series in the East. All right, so you said you're looking at the standings, right?
Yeah, Devin. So just so you know, it would be Bucks versus Hawks in the first round. Celtics versus Heat, Sixers versus Nets, and Cavs versus Knicks.
Yeah, that'll be the most entertaining because I think that's the most evenly matched. I like drama, so just naturally I like drama. I like chaos. So just the fact that the team that Donovan Mitchell is on, and the team that didn't want to give up RJ Barrett to get him. Are going to be facing each other. Like, that's going to be something, and there's going to be, like, some statements being made in that series.
I want to see Brunson and Randle, like, really under that pressure to really come out the first round.
So they just battled tonight.
He just got 48, so I mean.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, step up to the plate. That's probably.
And when is Brunson's first game back from his little wrist injury or whatever it was? Or did he play before?
He played in a couple games.
I know he was out.
Yeah, no, he definitely missed some games for sure. But, yeah, 4 and 5 is always going to be the most interesting matchup because they're the closest in the standings. So, other than that, I'm going to say Celtics Heat. Obviously, Heat aren't what they lost the offseason. I kept saying that before. Like, they made no moves. They lost P.J. Tucker and just didn't do anything. Obviously, he's not a big piece, but they just didn't do anything in the offseason whatsoever. Like, they brought back the same team other than just losing P.J. Tucker. I think I saw on Twitter that they have 11 undrafted players on their roster right now or something like that. And that's like, bro, you have Jimmy and Bam as your two dogs, but they're like offensively limited somewhat. Jimmy in the playoffs is a different story, but Bam is just Bam. Like I'm starting to think Bam is just slightly overrated. And I used to love Bam, but his offensive game is just not all that. But it's hard to say that because he's also averaging a career high in points, I think. I think he's the first time he's averaging a dub. But it just doesn't – like I just expect more from Bam. Like developmental-wise, I think he should – he can't score more than like 18 feet out, and that's a problem in this game because he's undersized. It's not like he's a true big that's in the basket all the time.
To me, he's built like four.
He is, and he's not even an elite rim protector. He's an elite defender, but he's an elite defender because he can guard the guards, but he can't guard pure centers. So it's just weird. But
Philly versus Brooklyn would have been lit if Ben Simmons was playing. But
yeah, I don't.
Kyle Bridges is doing his thing.
Yeah,
he's out there flourishing. He just need to get his table out.
I think that would be like a 4-1 series just because the Nets just don't have none for Embiid. Like, I just don't see it.
No. It's going to be a tough – they're going to challenge – they're going to challenge them. It's not going to be like
that. Yeah, I don't think they're going to – I don't think it's going to be blowouts, but I think Philly's going to close out each game. I don't think Nets just have that close.
Actually, I see that series playing out exactly – well, maybe not exactly how, Philly and Toronto did last year.
I knew you were going to say that.
Like, I see them, like, losing a game that they shouldn't and it being pushed to six games. Mm-hmm. Like, I see that happening. That's the worst post. Talking about
games that they shouldn't. Look, one. We were doing good not mentioning that sorry ass team.
The best games of the season versus the Celtics at the end of the season.
Oh. I hate the Wizards, bro. Ignore this hoodie. I hate the Wizards. But anyways, let's slide to the West then, because the West right now.
I could probably share my screen real quick. Let me try.
The Mavericks are 11th in the West.
And that's crazy because they thought they were.
They were the fourth seed when they got Kyrie. And I'm people know I'm not the – okay, there we go. Appreciate that. Everybody knows I'm not the biggest right. Kyrie fan, but I'm not about to sit up here and shit on him and blame him. It's the front office fault for trading – it's not even trading away your defenders. You traded one away in Dorian Finney-Smith because it was him and Dinwiddie. So it's not like you trade away all these defenders. But that was the best defender in the lineup. And you didn't do anything to replace him. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of players – obviously, he's not the same like he was, but like Robert Covington, who's a two-way player, is just sitting at the end of the Clippers bench. Like, y'all could have got him for anything. Y'all don't play Christian Wood, which is for defensive purposes, but putting in Powell and McGee, and they're giving up more points than Wood does, doesn't make sense. So Jason Kidd has to figure out some defensive identity. And Kyrie just said yesterday that he's here for the long run. Well, this trade was a long-term trade, which...
Yeah.
Exactly.
That pretty much guarantees that he's leaving.
For sure.
Be gone this offseason.
Yeah. So I want to focus on two teams real quick, the Mavericks and the Blazers. So the Mavericks, like I said, they're the 11th seed, and which is outside the play-in. They're obviously not they're not one of the teams that are trying to rebuild. They want to get in the playoffs. And the Blazers being 13, we think Dame is done for the season at this point. And it's crazy because they were like, a top six seed for a minute, and they.
No. The Blazers were putting in work. They were definitely putting in that work to stay in the playoff run.
Yeah, I don't know what. I mean, injuries happen, and just other better teams just started beating them. And this, everybody, the rumors are, Dame's gonna have a serious sit down again with the front office about direction. But Dame, like, they can't build around you. It's okay. That, like, it's.
I just think nobody wants to come to Portland. If we're being honest.
I can't even say that because everybody that goes there loves it there. Like the state and all that.
Josh Hart was hurt when he got traded.
Yeah. People love Portland, but it's the home of Nike. Like, you go there, you're getting all that stuff. So, but it's mm-hmm. not, I don't know. Like, it's hard to build around stars. Like, that's apparent. You look at the Warriors and a team, like, it's only a few teams that can do it right. Like Brian said earlier about Philly being built weird. Like, it's hard to build around. Sometimes it's hard to build around your star. Warriors hit all right picks, got the right trades, did the right signings. Blazers tried to do the same thing, but it's hard. Like, it's not easy. It's Dame, you're wasting your career away. Like, I get you want the money. You said what?
I said the Wizards attempted to do the same thing, but.
No. You keep mentioning that sorry ass franchise.
Bro, I feel like we're going back to the Ernie Grunfeld era, bro. And I'm just being honest.
Bro, we need to.
It never left. Tommy Shepard was an assistant under Ernie Grunfeld.
It's in there. It's in there somehow.
What we need to do is let them two stubborn motherfuckers play with each other. We should just swap Beal out to the Blazers, trade them for like Sharp, Nasir Little, all their young pieces and some picks. Let Dame and Beal be stubborn together. That's going to be an interesting backcourt. But let them struggle together. We can get Simons back too. Simons, Sharp, and Nasir Little. I'll take that. To start off.
Because, I mean, the latest alert I saw was that they were on contract with KP and Kuz.
Yeah. I don't know what's next for the Blazers. Like, you have to trade Dame at this point. Because you don't have enough pieces. Well, you kind of do. You have Simons, Grant, Nasir, and Sharp. That's enough to get a solid player next to Dame. But then it's like, that's the rest of the roster is going to be incomplete. So it's hard. Brian, we saw that tweet the other day about building a team around Dame, which you would give him. I said, PG, you had two all-stars.
Yeah, I
a rookie or sophomore and old teammate of his in their prime. And Brian went with Melo for the teammate. Only reason I didn't go with Melo, I felt like that was just being OC. Like a prime Melo with Dame, PG, and Embiid would have been like, I don't know if that's okay.
Prime Melo and Dame could have went very far.
Yeah. Not defensively, but for sure on offense.
No, not defensively, of course, but like, Melo definitely.
So as with the standings still up, do we see Dallas making a push? We have Lakers in 9. Thunder, well, actually, now Lakers are 7. They just moved up to 7. My bad. Mavericks are still 11, though. So do we – the teams above them are Thunder, Timberwolves, Pels. Yeah, Thunder, Timberwolves, and Pels.
Honestly, I would say it's between the Pels. I mean, I see L.A. making the play. Making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, Cats back.
They got Brian's favorite player, too.
They got some youngers that are hungry. So I can see OKC trying to fight their way into the playoffs. They definitely hungry.
So it sounds like Dallas ain't making it.
I don't know. And I've been seeing this whole people, this whole, you know, I don't know if y'all seen that picture going around. It's Luka and Jokic, and they saying they want to see that.
I would love it.
They want to see that.
That would be crazy.
I would.
If I'm Denver, I'm giving up.
The thing with Denver is now I feel like they're. I'm trying to think of another team that did this, but I tweeted this a minute ago too. But if they don't make the finals, or at least at the very least the conference finals, but they got to make the finals. If they don't make it this year, they're going to have to trade their part of their core to get somebody else, because Michael Porter Jr. is showing he's just not it.
They picked up like a couple of pieces.
They got Reggie Jackson as the backup point guard.
Thomas Bryant, I know they got
Yeah, they got that sorry-ass center from the Wizards.
Hey, that nigga was cooking in L.A. I ain't even going to hold you. When AD was gone, my nigga was putting those on board.
He was for a second. But
that nigga's doing his thing, but
the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr.'s trade value is just going further and further down. Like he's just not producing. No, I would never thought I'd rather have Aaron Gordon than Michael Porter Jr., but we're at that point right now.
Aaron Gordon, he's played amazing in Denver to me. I don't know. Better than he was in Orlando.
No, for sure. That's because in Orlando he was looked at as trying to be the number one or two option. Now he can just completely off ball the fourth option, which is cool for him.
Yeah.
Brian, so what do you think about Dallas? You think they got a chance? Well, not chance. Do you think they are going to make it?
It's when you're led by Luka and Kyrie, it's like you're supposed to squeeze in there. Like, I can easily see either OKC or New Orleans falling out and Dallas getting their spot. I don't know. It's just something about Dallas that just feels like they cooked, and I don't know what it is. When you lose to Charlotte twice in like 2 days or whatever it was, back to back games essentially, you lose to Charlotte. Like you're not serious about trying to make the playoffs. Like you're just not. And when that trade went down, I was like, oh, that's nice, first round exit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they would be struggling to make the play-in tournament though. So, I don't think they're gonna make it.
Cause it's weird. It was weird. Those first couple of games when Luka wasn't there and Kyrie was at his debut, they looked like, I was like, oh shit, like this could possibly work.
Right.
I don't know. Is Zion back?
No.
Well, no.
Bro, I'm a Zion fan, but the West would look a lot different if this man would play 60 games. Like the way he can dominate is.
Bro, that's what I said. The beginning of the season, that nigga was in like MVP conversation.
Yeah, nah, for real. Like a lot of people don't like him. I think a lot of people don't like him literally because he don't play, and it's like, you know, his injury problems, his weight, all that. But it's like, bro, when he plays, this man is. It's not too many players like.
they were cooked. Like, they looked like a team. I was like, low-key, I'd be scared of them niggas.
No, for real. And then when you see a dude like Trey Murphy, who is emerged as one of the best shooters, it's like, bro, you can, if Zion does come back, you have JV in the paint, who also can stretch the floor. You got Brandon Ingram, who's an elite scorer. You got Trey Murphy on the wing, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones. Like, the team is solid. He just needs to be on the court.
But, and they got a solid-ass coach.
No, nah, for sure. But it's
Willie Green,
nobody. Like, it's no matchup for Zion. And that's, it's sad that we're not, if something, I don't want to put it in the air, but if, like, he keeps on this trajectory of, like, playing, like, 20 games a season, he could be, like, literally the biggest what-if in NBA history, because we've seen this dude come in. His career average is, like, 27 or 28, and he's played, like, probably 100 games. Like, that's insane. Like, he...
Are you putting him a bigger... If that happens, I forget that happens. If that happens, is he a bigger what-if than Brandon Roy?
Than Brandon Roy? Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh. Okay. Zion had, like... Let me think where I want to place him. Zion, I feel like Zion has top five.
I was about to say, yeah, top five. Because I think him and Luka could be the face of the league if they were both over.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you want to put him.
And Ja Morant.
Yeah. Yeah, but so to the Mavericks, I don't think they're gonna make it at this point, and that sucks. Luka is way too good of a player. I mean, both of them, Luka and Kyrie, but really, Luka is way too good of a player to not be in the playoffs. But it's just over.
Like, do you realize how crazy that would be if Kyrie asked for a trade from Brooklyn, and he don't even make the play-in tournament while Brooklyn is locked in the C seed? Like, like, again, I'm not even trying to pile on him, but, like, just think about that.
You know, niggas, they're going to be on his head about that, bro.
So, in the West, what's your favorite matchup? Brian, I'll start with you this time. What's your favorite matchup in the West?
Looking at the standings currently. So, I'm going to assume, I'm going to do it like this. So, I got the Lakers getting the 7th seed and Minnesota getting the 8th seed, right? I have a slight bold prediction too. I don't know if you want me to say that now.
Go ahead.
Okay. With the standings currently how they are, 4 or 5 don't really count in this because either one of those can win typically. But I could see a situation where Golden State beats Sacramento and LA beats Memphis. And if I think about it, I could probably see a situation where Minnesota beats them.
I was about to say, I can see the 8 beating the 1 in this.
Yeah. Like, I can legitimately see every lower seed in the Western Conference, assuming that LA gets a 7 seed. I can see it. Matter of fact, yeah, fuck it. Bold prediction. All the lower seeds go advance to the second round in the Western
Conference. I love that.
If I had to pick which one would be my favorite, probably, I'm going to say Golden State and Sacramento.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. If Wiggins is back, I think Golden State will win it easily because they're kind of rolling right now too. I mean, I know they had like a weird loss against Minnesota the other day, but they're finding their groove. And just with their championship pedigree and their experience, they're going to turn it on for the playoff. But it's like, Sacramento is kind of reminds me of those younger Golden State teams when they were coming up and, you know, when Steph was, under Mark Jackson. Like, they kind of remind me of that. And so that'll be a good matchup to see.
Yeah, Sabonis is a souped-up David Lee.
Ike.
Yeah, I'm a go with Sacramento and Golden State, too. And actually, to Brian's point, I can see Minnesota – or if he happens to play, if Zion comes back, I could see Pelicans beating the Nuggets too. Like, I think the Nuggets the Pelicans have too much for the Nuggets because the Nuggets don't have that many defenders, and the Pelicans have a lot of offensive weapons. Like, CJ and Jamal Murray is an interesting matchup. I like Jamal Murray more, but it's not like CJ's way worse or something like that. Like, that's a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
You have who's the, I guess, Trey Murphy and KCP. I'd rather have Trey Murphy as right now. Ingram versus Michael Porter Jr., Ingram. Zion versus Aaron Gordon, Zion. Obviously, Joker is going to be Joker. So that would be a great matchup. Yeah. But the Sacramento Golden State one, this is what's interesting because Sacramento is a young team, like super young, and they remind me, you talk about Golden State, but they remind me of Memphis, how they're just taking over. Like 2 years ago, Memphis, I guess. Like, they're just young, and inexperience could be a good thing. Like, they're not going in there thinking too much. And it's another two reasons why it's interesting is because Golden State's record on the road, whoever they play against, they're going to be a lower seed, and they have, like, 7 or 8 wins or something like that on the road this year. So them going into a playoff atmosphere on the road, obviously they're still built for the playoffs, all that. But it's going to be interesting because they have to get that shit together on the road.
Yeah, I feel like for this one, it wouldn't be as big, though, because granted, it's Sacramento, but they still in the state of California.
Did you hear Draymond talk about that?
Nah, what did he say?
He said,
yeah, I saw him talk about the, like, how they prefer to play Sacramento.
Yeah, he was like, that's the dream matchup. It's not because of talent. It's because of distance. Like he said, every team that he's ever played against in the playoffs, basically, or on championship runs, it's always like a 2 to 4 hour flight. And he was basically saying Memphis shouldn't even be in the West Coast. Like, that's unfair for other West Coast teams because it's such a far, it's so much further, and it's like right under all the East Coast teams in Cleveland, Indiana, and Chicago. Like, Memphis is right under them, so it don't make sense. But he was saying that that's a good matchup for them because of traveling. It's the closest team. But also, Kings are very, very, very interesting because no matter who they play, they could get swept all because of Sabonis. Sabonis is a fouling machine. As much I love centers, like I love centers, but he can get played off the court because a lot of people remember. Obviously, he just came from Indiana at the trade deadline last year, and his whole career he played next to a center, even though he was a center. Like he kept playing next. He was playing next to Miles Turner and the Thunder. He was playing next to Steven Adams, but the whole time, like Sabonis is a true center. But he's not a defensive center. That's the thing. Like, he's not good at rim protecting, and he fouls quick. Like, he always gets, like, 3 fouls in the first half. Like, he's just a fouling machine. So, teams, especially a team like the Warriors, how smart they are, they're going to play use that to their advantage. So, that's why it could really be bad for a team like that when you're, I'd say, best overall player in Sabonis right now is can be played off the court. That's not a good sign. Fox is going to be Fox. But then you have young, super young players in that lineup. Keegan Murray, who just had the 3-point record for rookies, who broke Donovan Mitchell's record. Which, speaking of, was that stat true? I know y'all had to see it about Donovan Mitchell being the youngest player to like 10,000 points, something like that.
Yeah, it was like 10,000 points and like 1,000 assists or something.
Or 1,000 threes or something like that.
I can't remember. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Bro, I would not think he's the youngest to 10,000 points.
Yeah.
and then he's also, I think this is his 6th year in the league. He's never missed the playoffs. Like, Donovan, me and Brian are both huge fans of Spider. That man's a dog.
Didn't utilize him like they should have.
Well, that comes down to, like we were talking about earlier, it's hard to build around players, especially in Utah. You're not getting players. You have to trade because you're not getting free agents to sign in Utah whatsoever. That's how it is for a lot of them small market teams, though. Like, I'm one of the people that believes, and I know it hurt this. I know it hurt the teams, but it's like, I feel like, only large markets should have teams because it's you're putting smaller markets at disadvantage. Obviously, you have exceptions like Milwaukee who have a superstar. But like Memphis, no matter how good they are, you don't – that's not a dream location. Like, you don't hear people saying, yeah. Right. That's not – I want to go to Minnesota. Like, that, it's too cold up there. Like, people said that. Like, that's – no matter how good they get.
Shit, Washington's the same. D.C.'s the same way. Like, you would think D.C.'s a city like, damn, I might ask D.C. But just, I think the team is what fucks it up.
Team ownership.
Side note. Random bold prediction that's probably not going to happen for, like, another 4 or 5 years or so. But you mentioned Memphis and you mentioned Minnesota. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I see John Anthony Edwards teaming up
this year. Oh my, that's a topic. That's a topic for another day because I have. I have a topic of.
That's the day the league will. That's the day the league will change.
No, for sure.
like everybody's trajectory, like that. That's one of the moves that have niggas like scared. Like, okay.
I want to do a whole episode on top duos we would want to see play, and that's crazy because John Ant is definitely on my list of that, like for sure. That would be tough. And real quick, side note, because I forgot to say this earlier, but when we're talking about Jaylen Brown, I wanted to get this off on the podcast. Jaylen Brown, to me, and let me know what y'all think, is one of the players that if you're trading, it would be a huge haul in return because Jaylen Brown, PG, and Clay, those are the first three players to pop in my head. Those three players can fit on any team, in any situation, in any system. Like those three are very unselfish. They're all two-way players, and they can all shoot. They're like I said, unselfish. They can play, make all that, and they're plug and play. Like say one of them three. Let's say you just throw them on like the Rockets where they have a two guard already. You can just move one of them to the three. Like they can play multiple positions. And because Jaylen Brown obviously was talking about he might not be in Boston anymore and packages came up, but it's like you can't – Jaylen Brown's going to be a hard player to trade for because you can put him in any situation. That's why I said PG2 when they brought up who would you put next to Dame. I was thinking it was either PG or Jaylen Brown. Like one of those two players, you could literally throw them on anywhere. If you could throw them on Dallas right now, you could throw – them on Denver right now, like literally any team, them three players would just go in and fit and make better. So
even when PG went to OKC, niggas didn't know how that was gonna work. They did he did exceptionally well.
Yeah, his best season with Russ. So
yeah, and you remember they had Melo on that team too.
Like it's not too many elite plug and play players. Like he's one of the few. I know a lot of people call KD the best. I think KD's a little different. Obviously, you're going to make a way for KD, but it's just a little different. I don't even know if I can explain it. It's just different. Like, I don't know. You don't just throw him on the Lakers with LeBron and AD and it's going to fit. But if you throw Clay. Yeah,
it's not plug and play. It depends on the system.
Right.
You're like, you know, KD. It depends on how effective you want like that system to be. Like case in point, like with the Warriors. The Warriors were just like, all right, we're going to run this system. Everything breaks down. KD, just post up. You feel me? Well, we're going to run this action for you. Come off these screens. Come off the baseline screens and whatnot. You know, you wide open in the corner, wide open in the mid-range. But with Brooklyn, especially under Steve Nash, it was just ISO, ISO, ISO.
Yeah.
ISO, no player movement. 1-4 flat.
Steve Nash was a terrible coach.
Like, go post.
Yeah, that surprised me because I'm like, He was such a facilitator.
Yeah, but that's
he was in the league. You would think
that don't surprise me. Him and Kidd, because I know Kidd didn't do that well in was it Brooklyn or Milwaukee was at first.
I think he
was at Brooklyn at first.
That don't surprise me because I'm not even trying to be disrespectful to the players and nothing like that. But they always say the best players are usually like the backup positions because they get they watch the most, like a TJ McConnell. They just literally on the bench. And they'll come in for like 20 minutes a game, if that. But they get to see everything from the bench. They get to hear the coaches. They get to pick up on things. And those are the players that make the better coaches. Tyronn Lue. Like, you don't see elite players coming in and being elite coaches. That just doesn't happen. Because they're just stuck in their ways. Like, look, if this worked for me, it's going to work for y'all. Like, no, that's not how it is. So, I knew Steve Nash wasn't going to work. Jason Kidd, I didn't believe it was going to work. It's still really a question mark on if it's working in Dallas. Like, I don't think it is.
Or is it just we're just fascinated watching?
Maybe.
You got Steve Kerr. Although Steve Kerr inherited Mark Jackson's team.
See, Steve Kerr's a good example. Mark Jack, yeah. Like, I don't think if Michael Jordan was a coach, he'd be a good coach. Like, he would not bring the best out of his players.
No.
The way he is about the game, bro, that nigga.
I don't know.
He's not.
He's not even a good owner.
I heard that nigga's trying to sell his team anyway, so.
He need to.
Yeah. All right.
I'm I would say that Phoenix and LA matchup. I will.
Yeah. Especially PG.
I was just about to say, yeah, last thing I do want to say, ask y'all before we get to guess the player, is that Phoenix and Clippers series, because that's the most interesting. Like, obviously it's 4-5, so it's interesting anyway, but if PG's there, that's a hell of a matchup both ways. Like, that's, you have PG and Kawhi versus Book and KD. That's a hell of a matchup.
It's almost unfair that's about to be the 4-5 matchup.
That should be like a second round.
I don't think the Warriors. Well, the Warriors might end up finessing the fifth seed too. But
that
matchup seems almost unfair to get in the first round.
I got a question. How far y'all think Memphis?
You said how far what?
How far do you think Memphis will go?
If they facing the Lakers in the first round, they're going first.
Denver's not making it past second round. No matter, I don't care who they play. I just don't see it.
You said Denver or Memphis?
Me? Oh, I thought you said Denver.
Memphis?
Oh, yeah. If they face the Lakers the first round, they're done. They're done.
It really depends on health. Like, I don't – Minnesota, problem last year in Minnesota was they could not close games. Against Memphis, they should have won 4-1, but they could not close games against Memphis. But
they had like 20 point leads that they
brought. Brian's gonna hate me for saying this.
In the same game.
Brian's gonna hate me for saying this, but the key to that series is probably gonna be Gobert because of Ja's skill of scoring in the paint. Like that's what it comes down to. Ja's elite at scoring in the paint. I know he led the league in paint scoring last season. I think it was last season. And Gobert would obviously help that because last year it was Cat down there, which. Obviously, Gobert's not great over that.
Cat should really play the four.
And Gobert's matchup is Steven Adams, so it's a matchup he'll stay on the court for. So he that's gonna be good.
I like the picture of him getting Mike Conley at the trade deadline. I don't know if we ever talked about that when it happened, but I feel like that team, they need that veteran presence, and I feel like Mike Conley is definitely.
Definitely
good in that
Their
role.
Their coach said something about that. Their coach said he was glad they made that move because they wanted a point guard that was more mature and less flashy.
I mean, hey.
But Memphis and Minnesota series, you have the other Minnesota matchup is Jaren Jackson versus Cat. That's very interesting. Two bigs that are going to stretch the floor. Jaren Jackson, obviously an elite shot blocker. He has somewhat problems. It's a bonus too, though. He fouls a lot. He'll play like 24 minutes and have 7 blocks, but be fouled out. So it's weird with JJJ. But yeah, I think Minnesota could be. Memphis and Denver actually. I don't know if it's bold, but I don't see the top two seeds in the West making it out the second round, if that. Like that's their ceiling. And it's funny, it could be, like Brian said, with Golden State in Sacramento, the top three seeds literally could all be – well, Brian said all the top seeds, which that's very realistic.
Yeah, but I can't really count Phoenix and L.A. because it's like
– that's a conference finals matchup.
They pretty much – that's so unfair that's about to be the first round matchup.
That's going to be interesting. All right, cool. So we can slide straight to guess the player, the main event of the show. I got three players for y'all. We're going to start off. We're going to do basically a super garbage player. Not garbage, but he went out the league kind of quick. Then we got a decent player, and then we're going to end it with a good player. So this dude right here, he came in the league in 2009. He's not in the league anymore. He played from 2009 to 2014. In that span, he played for 5 teams. And like I said, from 2009 to 2014, and this is a kicker right here. And that's a 5-year span. I don't know how this adds up, but he must have got traded a lot because it says he had 4 seasons with 1 team. But he, it looks like he kept getting traded back and forth. So this guy's averages are Oh my God, I didn't know it was this bad. 4 points a game, 3 assists. That's his career averages. His best year was 7 points a game. But obviously, you're going to be like, how the hell am I supposed to guess this player? This dude, college-wise, he went to a small college, D1, but he's one of those players that benefited from the NCAA tournament. His team went on a huge run. His coach has a famous name, and he's since moved on, upgraded from the school they went to. School is somewhat close to here, somewhat. He is not white. And I should have told you, Devin, my bad. Everybody get 3 questions and 3 guesses. They're separate. So now you got 2 questions left, but you still got 3 guesses.
Goodness.
He was a first round pick. No, he was the 20th pick. And we all know this dude. Like, we're probably pretty sure we know him from college. His career, I don't know. We know him from the NBA too, but I didn't think his stats were that bad, honestly.
Was he on any championship teams?
Actually, well, nah, he went on a championship team, but he did go to the finals. They didn't win. Let me confirm that. So really think about small colleges that blew up. Like, it went, they definitely went to the Sweet 16 at least. And the coach has an instant name, is famous, but he's no longer there anymore. Y'all know the coach and player. I would think y'all know the coach. Brian, I know you know the coach. Devin, I would think you do too.
You know I know the coach?
Yeah, like he's a well-known name. Like, he's not like a Coach K, but like his name is so interesting and he had one run that's like, okay.
Is he still coaching college?
His team just, NBA? I think his team made the Sweet 16 and got knocked out. Matter of fact, let me confirm this. his team this year was OC, but they got upset.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy did go to the finals with the team. So, yeah. But his team lost. This drink really says he played 5 years and played 4 seasons with one team. That's insane.
Oh, my God.
One of the teams was the Wizards. He played in 23 games for us. Career high in points is 24. Pulled up his awards. All it says is he finished second in games played 1 year.
Oh my God.
And in that year, he didn't even start a single game. So,
oh my God. And we know this nigga? Yeah,
in college, his last year in college, he averaged 22 a game and 6 assists. Like, it's definitely an easily forgotten name, but you got to think of school-wise. Think of, I'll give you, like, think of the George Mason type schools. like one of them random ass Cinderella teams. And then their coach got promoted.
Okay.
So wait, say it again, Dev. I can't hear you.
I say like the thing about the VCU, the ODU
schools. You can't get no harder than that. Okay. Brian.
What was his name? Hold on. What was his name?
Come on, give me the coach. I know you know the coach now.
Yeah, Shaka Smart. Damn, what was his name?
Shaka Smart is now coach. Eric Maynard, there we go.
I forgot he was.
You said what, Devin?
I said I forgot all about Eric Maynard, bro. Yeah.
Shaka Smart's coach at Marquette.
That's what he was from OKC.
Yeah. And he moved on to Marquette. Damn, yep. I bet. Now we're going to go decent player. This dude right here came in the league in 2010. And he was in the league last season, but he just hasn't been picked up. His career probably is over. His group.
Boogie Cousins.
Man, fuck you. Honestly, though, that's a very hot guess. That's all I can say. His career season. You said what, Devin?
What was your guess, Brian?
I said Boogie Cousins, just to piss Ian off.
Yeah, my nigga's just still
his career year, he averaged 21 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. 2-time all defensive team, 1-time all rookie.
Damn,
Brian.
I mean, what year did he come in again?
He came in the league in 2010. That's why I said that's a very, when he said Boogie, that was a hot guess because that I think that's the same year.
Yeah, that's a
normal play. You said a career total.
21.6 assists, 5 rebounds.
Oh, hell no. That's not who I was thinking about.
I didn't think this nigga had this bad a great of a season. It's Eric Bledsoe.
Bledsoe. Damn.
Boogie. When he said Boogie, I was like, bro, I said 2010 draft. I'm like, it's not that many
years. I do remember that season, Eric. But I think that was his first year in Phoenix. He was cooking like that.
Yeah. Because then that's when he went. After that, he went to LA. He was a part of that Live City team for a while. All
right, yeah. Bro, now for the – hey, this is perfect. Now we got one player left, and both y'all tied at one. This is perfect. Bet. This dude right here was drafted in 06. Last year in the league was 2016, so he had a 10-year career. Career year, his best year, he averaged 21 points, 5 rebounds, about 2 assists. Career average is 14 and 4 rebounds. The only accolade he has is all rookie. But this dude, he'd be great in today's game. I think he was a little above before his time, though. He's played for 3 teams. Career high in the game is 41.
Damn.
Not Evan Turner.
Yeah,
so Evan Turner came with John Wall, didn't he?
You said
I still remember. I swore we should have got Evan Turner over John Wall.
So I remember us having them conversations. We would have been.
Oh, man. Gilbert going out the door. Evan Turner. Oh, man. Hey, we would have been nice as shit for the top pick the next season.
Well, we definitely would have ended up with Kyrie.
Nah, imagine we get our top pick the next season, got Derek Williams to pair with Evan Turner.
Oh my God.
Aaron
I didn't even think about it. Nah, he just would take y'all Vesely number one.
If it wasn't for Charlotte, we'd be looked at as like a terrible franchise. But Charlotte is easily the worst at drafting. Yeah. But yeah, this dude, he played for three teams. He played one team. He played for 7 years, though.
Okay, it's not one
thing. His last team, I don't think you'd remember him for. You said what? Yep. And he was before his time. Like, I think he'd be a bucket today.
I'm gonna throw a name out there just to get it. It's not Joey, but
that's a great guess though.
I just had to get that name out of my head.
He's on my list though. So now when I have him, when I know I'm gonna use him, I can't have him on the show. I said he's on my list of players I'm going to use. So now that you guessed him, I can't have you on the show. Oh.
That's fine.
This guy was a high draft pick, too. Let's see. He made $73 million playing here, so that's one thing. Playing here. He's not from here.
Okay, that's a game changer. Hold on.
That nigga made $73 million, so that nigga was getting.
Let me see. Let me give you some players that were in his draft class. Almighty GOAT, Adam Morrison. Ooh. It gets even hotter. We got Sheldon Williams.
Dang. Oh,
Candace Parker, baby. Boy.
Patrick O'Brien. Muhammad Sané. Wow. Okay, JJ was in this class. Bro, this lottery is terrible. Hilton Armstrong.
Yeah, you remember niggas start Adam. Damn, Charlotte again.
Cedric Simmons. Rodney Carney. This Ronaldo Balkman, Rondo was in this class. Okay, Kyle Lowry, Shannon Brown, Jordan Farmer. Okay,
Jordan Farmer,
PJ Tucker. Okay, Paul Millsap with the 47th pick.
Damn,
everybody,
is it? Hold on, what's his name?
It's Andre Marion. The number one pick.
That was it. I don't know why I was thinking he was 05 for a second there. But that was Bogey.
Yep, Bargnani was. Bargnani was a buggy.
Oh, yeah, he'd be great.
Hell yeah. His problem was they put him at center. Yeah, for a second. The second pick in that class was Aldridge to Chicago, who they traded on draft night for Tyrus Thomas. That's similar to Kevin Love. Y'all remember Kevin Love got traded on draft night for almighty OJ May?
Yeah.
Brandon Roy was in this class, too. Brandon Roy. Dang. Nah, 6, 7, and 8 were all right. It was Brandon Roy, Randy Foy, Rudy Gay. For 6, 7, and 8.
You remember when we traded for Randy Foy?
Don't remind me.
Last question.
Niggas could have drafted.
We're all Wizards fans up here. Let's see if y'all can remember who we drafted that year.
06?
Oh, you said it, Brian?
He was like the 18th pick or something like that, right?
Nah.
His name is... I thought you said Oleski Petrov.
Petrov or something. Yeah. I remember trying to use that nigga a lot.
Never heard of him.
Bro, my man came and went to the he came to the Wizards and went.
Never heard of this. I'm about to pull up his basketball reference real quick. Career, bro, he's played. Oh my god, he played in the league for 2 years.
Yes, bro. Yeah, bro, that's why I say he came and went.
Four points.
Had to be the worst. Eric Grandpa's the worst GM we had.
Oh my god, this man.
His name?
Alexi. I'm about to just send it to you, bro. Because this is insane.
I think I found it. Maybe? No, I don't even know who. I pulled up
the TV. He's texting.
Oh, okay. I'm spelling it wrong.
Dang, bro. I thought Young Vesey was our worst team.
Hold on, wait. That's the year we got 06. Was that the year we drafted Nick Young, too?
No, I think that was us. Bro, who is this?
That was 07, because we got him and Dominic.
Yeah, McGuire. We only had one pick this year, and that was we using him. We could have got Rondo or Kyle Lowry. No.
Bro, I've never seen this man a day in my life.
Bro, I think I seen.
I don't know, bro. He probably the type that you see every day wouldn't even know it. He probably walked right past, bro.
He one of the niggas that was cooking overseas, and Ernie thought, yeah, he'd come to the Wizards and help change the Wizards.
Bro, they drafted him in 06. He didn't make his NBA debut until January 11,
2008. Bro. Next to Charlotte,
we're the worst at
drafting,
bro. Yeah, we're... Oh, my gosh. It's
definitely
up there.
Niggas probably going to get a top 10 pick this year.
Nah, you know Wizards love the ninth anywhere between the 9th and 18th. That's their range right there.
Right. We'll
stop, bro. Stop. Situation, I'm gonna boot you out. Stop about to mention his name.
We'll have another Johnny Davis situation.
Man, look, but we're gonna end the podcast here. Appreciate y'all for listening. If any news comes up, we still have waiting on this Lamar thing. It's really crazy. Former MVP.
I'm going to say it right now. He's not playing this season.
You think he wants it out?
That's cool. He's not playing this season. He's not playing on the franchise today. And I don't think anybody's going to trade for him before the start of the season. He's not playing this season.
And as a Commanders fan, I could just say, fuck the GM, bro. he's not even like an attempting. He said, we're not going to attempt it. Basically, in a nutshell, he's like, we're not going to attempt it. Granted, I'm here for Sam Howell getting his development. You got the chance, bro. Go after a fucking quarterback.
All right. Other than Commanders, what's this is my last question for the pod. So, but what's because we're all Commanders fans too. What Nate? Give me the one team you'd want to see him on, other than Commanders. Mm-hmm. That's not Commanders. Obviously, we would all want to see him with us, but or two teams. Because I'm thinking, I can't think. I'm only thinking of two.
If he went to Atlanta, bro, I would.
I don't know. A lot of people say that. I don't like that. I know the culture and all that, but that team just don't seem like that's for him.
I mean, I know he's definitely not going to go to Houston.
You say he's not going where?
He's definitely not going to go to a team like Houston or Seattle. I don't know where. Honestly, I'm confused.
Before, this isn't even a team that I'm thinking of, but before, this wasn't even a team that was room. Well, this isn't a team I thought of until they got in the rumors, but Detroit would be a decent fit for them. I just don't like what they would trade away Golf, because Golf was all right. Unless it's like a three-team deal, I'll take Golf. Like, Golf's all right. Yeah. I love Dan Campbell. I talk about that all the time. I love Dan Campbell. But teams for me, for Lamar, actually, I know I said one, but I actually have three that I would just love to see him on. And San Fran, obviously, that system would be insane for him. O-line with CMC, Debo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Like, it's just weapons galore. Other team is the team out of spite, go to Pittsburgh, who that would be decent. And the last team is a team that I think is similar to San Fran, where they could offer you a quarterback back plus picks, because I think San Fran could offer you Trey Lance and some picks back for Lamar. I think Miami could do the same thing. Like, if you're – people are concerned about Lamar's health, it's like – if you're concerned about Lamar's health, but not concerned about Tua's health. That's a little weird. Like, just you could swap Tua for Lamar. Obviously, Dolphins would need to trade a pick for that. But Lamar with Tyreek Hill, that speed is crazy. Obviously, they're quarterback receiver, but still, speed would be crazy. Defense is bulking up, so that'd be all right.
I got another team. I don't know if it'll make sense now, though. But I need them to stop worrying about that drug addict, also known as Aaron Rodgers. And I need the Jets to go ahead and go get Lamar.
Yo, Jess, when they go, because I heard they closing in on Odell, bro.
They listen. If you're going to end up trading a first-round pick or trading two first-round picks, they'll get the nigga that's 26 and not the man that literally said, yeah, before my darkest retreat, I was 90% retired. What? Like, no.
That would be funny, too, because what the hell? What would the Packers do? Like, at that point, Rodgers already said he wasn't going back. And it's like, dang, you really bring him back in the locker room? And Lazard left, too? Like,
he'd have to go to San Francisco.
I didn't realize he was that, like, toxic in the
locker room. Hey, man, we'll take Rodgers. We'll take somebody. Just... I'd take anybody.
Take care of the Commanders, I wouldn't fucking complain one bit. But
well, I would do a darkness retreat. What?
Hopefully, it wouldn't be no Alex Smith situation. Telling it.
Yeah, we need to do something, but we can save that for a football episode. So I'm gonna end it here. Appreciate y'all for listening, Dev, Brian. Appreciate y'all for joining. Stats for Facts podcast. We're gonna catch y'all next week, and we out.